All right, so before we start, just
bless you, Lord.
I want to thank Dave for putting himself forward, that he can stand here in front of us and he can testify of the Lord's goodness and his greatness.
Amen.
And that, Lord, that you use Dave as your vessel. Lord, pour out through him. Let us have ears to hear. Let us understand. Lord, I just pray that this morning that your word for us is great.
Mm.
Lord, I just pray that you open our hearts to receive.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Bless you. Thank you. I'd like to say that it's a privilege to stand here. And I take the honor with great care. Because I think if my mates that I played rugby with or I moved earth with or I drank beer with could see me now, they'd fall on their backs with absolute unbelief. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I'd like to start off with a scripture. 1 Corinthians 1. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. So thank you, Lord, that those days that are past are truly past, because in my earth-moving days, earth-movers are hard workers, hard livers. They need to have hard livers too. Hard drinkers, tough men, working with machines out in the sun. It's a thirsty job, that. And if you take their cousins, the miners, the miners worked underground in the heat, drilling out rock, loading it into the gunovans, and transporting it to surface. Hot, thirsty work. If you combine those two and you cross them, you get a very thirsty animal. And I was a contractor, an independent contractor working on the mines. So you can imagine what temptations there were there. But at the same time, I had a family and I had two young sons who had all of a sudden, as young boys, got the taste for fishing. Man, and these two guys just wanted to fish. And I just wanted to take them fishing. That was one of the greatest desires of my heart. But before this, I'd always wanted to grow things. I think it was part of what I'm doing now, is that desire to grow crops, really, not flowers, but crops. And I used to read the Farmers Weekly every single week. But I'm going to talk today how God reached me through the Farmers Weekly. How was I to know that particular day that I bought that particular Farmers Weekly that God was going to change my life absolutely? You may remember some time ago that I talked about the appointed times that we have in our lives. That God puts things in our lives, in our way sometimes, that completely change our lives. These are intersections in our lives. These are appointed times that God puts into our way. They're divine appointments that change everything. Divine appointed times that are set by God to achieve His purposes. They are God moments, turning points in our lives. Little did I realize that this magazine would change my life completely. God chose the foolish things, a foolish magazine, to do what no other method had achieved, including perhaps the constant praying of my wife. Correction, it was because of my wife's prayers that I bought this Farmers Weekly one day. How, you may ask, did this happen? This light bulb moment in my life. How did this happen? Did I see an inspiring article? Did I have a burning bush experience? Did I hear God's voice? None of these things happened to me then. That's because I've learned since that God doesn't announce Himself with fireworks. It is in the quietness that we hear Him. So 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13 tells us, so the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. After the fire was a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Very often God talks to us in a soft whisper. Anyway, coming back to my story, as I bought this Farmers Weekly and took it back home, after supper I decided to open it up and have a good read. I opened the mag, and there on the inside of the cover page was something that my eyes saw immediately. I sat up with a jolt. Excitement ruled. What did I see in this magazine that got all my juices flowing? Was it a scripture? No. Was it a prophecy? No. Was it a revelation as to how bad my life had become? No. All these things did happen to me, but some months later. What I saw immediately when I opened this particular Farmers Weekly was a bright, shiny, yellow Range Rover. Wow. And I knew I had to have that. It was the perfect fishing vehicle. I could take my sons up the beach at Sodwana, which was allowed in those days. You could drive on the beach. I had to have this yellow, shiny Range Rover. So I immediately contacted the owner and went out to see it the next day, And man, it was exactly what I wanted. So we agreed a price, and I couldn't wait to take it back to show Matt and Rich, my sons, the new toy that we had. While we were agreeing about the price of this vehicle, I noticed that he had other earth-moving machines in his yard. It was the same business as I was in. And he said to me casually, well, I was thinking of selling my business. So with the brashness of youth, I said to him, how much? And I ended up buying not only the Range Rover, but his entire business, his machines, his great big low bed truck, and I moved onto his premises with all my machines. But as I examined these machines, I saw on the back of each one three letters, T, Y, L. So I said to Graham, what do those letters mean? I knew, and in fact the whole construction world knew, that he was a Christian and that he ran a Christian company. I didn't know it then, but I learnt later that all his staff gathered in the mornings before they started work and prayed. But that was foreign to the way I was at that stage. So I said, Graham, this TYL, what does that mean? He said, very simply, it means thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, interesting. Well, anyway, I went ahead and bought the business, but it was the first time, as he explained to me what God had done for him, because his business had got into a lot of financial problems some years before. And the company that he owned was placed under judicial management. Now that is a step before liquidation. That's a step before going bust. But he said this company was saved by the Lord. It's the only company in our industry that came out of judicial management with every debt paid. Wow, well, that was quite impressive to me. But you see, this is now the first time I heard the knocking on the door of my life by someone who shared about the Lord to me. In Revelation 3, verse 20, God says to us, behold, or here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and he with me. You see, we are his workmanship. His hands formed us, and he comes into our lives sometimes at very unexpected times. He controls everything that happens to us, and his plans very often are not our plans, as I was soon to find out. For Jeremiah 29:11 says, the famous scripture this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Remember, this is to all of us, eh? We all are part of his plan. So what happened? The Farmers Weekly caused me not only to buy the Range Rover, but to buy the whole business. All the machines, the low bed trailer, the trucks, and everything that went with it. That caused quite a stir in the construction industry in and around Johannesburg, because in the magazines that came out in our industry, there was quite a lot of space given to this takeover. And I remember one headline: "The days of wine and roses are back." Because the world knew that Graham's business was a Christian business. And he didn't drink and didn't allow drink on his business. So Satan took full opportunity to show the world that here was a Christian business being bought by a pagan, by an unbeliever. And the days of wine and roses are back. Well, I then needed that low bed trailer and truck to carry my ego, which had become so big and so powerful to me. As I dropped my kids at school in that shiny yellow Range Rover with speakers this big blaring out rock and roll music, everyone knew that we had arrived. And then what happened? God's plans are not our plans. Within a year, I had lost everything. The shiny Range Rover, the machines, the big truck, the office premises, everything. All I could afford to drop my children at school was a rusty old Volkswagen Beetle, which cost me then 75 rands, and didn't have an accelerator. It had a piece of blow draught which went back into the engine, and I used to pull this to make it go and push it to make it stop. But because of this experience, I gave my heart to Jesus. So I lost everything that the world had for me, but I gained something so precious, so absolutely unbelievable in value in my life. The Lord had taken me out of Egypt. The Lord had taken me out of the world system and brought me into the desert, where He started chipping away and showing me things about myself which I didn't like or enjoy. But He was now in control. And the most important first thing that he taught to me was I'd been seeking the appearance of excellence. We all want, more than anything else, to be recognized. As this morning's scripture says, "It's because of Him that I'm in Christ, who has become for me wisdom from God, my holiness, righteousness, and redemption." We all want our goodness to become known. But this natural desire so easily gets out of control. And I'm preaching here to myself. For even now, after 40 years of following Jesus, the old man keeps popping up. My BC man, I call him. Our greatest temptation for vainglory comes when we have virtue and good character. Because it seems to bother us most when our virtue goes unnoticed. Or when we deserve honor and it's not given to us. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 1, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by others. For if you do, you'll have no reward in heaven." Wow, that got me thinking. I read a really good explanation of this verse. If you are doing what you do so that other people will talk about how wonderful you are, then you will get what you want. And that's all you will get. A life spent craving human glory and praise, full of empty-hearted acts for the sake of appearances and audiences, will only bring the fleeting applause the world can give. So guard against this, I tell myself. Guard against this. So praise God, as I gave my life to Him, He led me out of Egypt and into the desert, where with His goodness, He started chipping away at the things that I needed to get rid of. He allowed my thoughts to change, my life to change, and my actions to change. So to summarize what I've said today, the first is, God chooses insignificant things very often to lead us, to guide us. So be aware of these things in your life. Look for them. Look for those things that God is putting in your path. Secondly, God will knock at your door continually. Pray every morning when you wake that the Lord will sharpen your ears. Sharpen my ears, Lord, today, that I may hear your knocking. And I find too personally that sitting in the quiet, not saying anything to the Lord and not just sitting, waiting for Him, is a very useful time for me to try and hear what He's saying to me. And then to be aware of vainglory, the need to impress. May we be delivered from that, Lord. God has showed us that He longs to be with us. He longs for our presence. He longs to walk with us as He did with Adam. And I believe it gives Him great pleasure when we acknowledge Him and give Him praise and gratitude. So I'm grateful to be part of this church because we do that here. And Lord, I bless you this morning. I bless and praise the name of our God. And I thank you, Lord, that we do acknowledge you in our lives, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'd sharpen our ears, that we'd hear your knocking, that we'd be aware of sometimes the foolish things that you put into our lives, which shame the wise, and the weak things, Lord, that shame the strong. We bless you today, Lord, and we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.